We're talking about Angelina Jolie Pitt's op-ed piece in the New York Times today.
2 years ago, the actress and filmmaker went public with her choice to have preventive double mastectomy. Today, she shared that she had her ovaries and fallopian tubes removed due to a risk of cancer.
Dr. Lisa Barillette is with us now to talk about the risks and benefits of preventive surgeries when it comes to cancer. She's an assistant professor of obstetrics and gynecology at UW-Madison. She specializes in gynecological cancer. Dr. Barillette, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, looking at Angelina Jolie Pitt's story, two years ago, she got that double mastectomy because she tested positive for a BRCA1 gene mutation and had a family history. So what is this gene mutation? Why are we watching this so closely?
Sure. Well, I think Angelina Jolie brought a lot of attention to something that's actually been known about for a few decades now. And what BRCA is, it's a gene that encodes proteins that are responsible for DNA repair. As you can imagine, cells that aren't being cross-checked for appropriate DNA repair might not reproduce normally, or cells that aren't functioning correctly may become cancerous. So patients who have this gene have a much higher risk of certain types of cancer. And there are two separate genes that have been identified, BRCA1, which is the one that Angelina Jolie has acknowledge that she has, and BRCA2, which both have a higher risk of breast and ovarian cancer in particular, but have slightly different risk profiles.
How common are these two gene mutations as far as we know so far?
Yeah, so that's actually something that we're learning more about every month. But there are certain populations, worldwide populations, that have a higher risk. In the Ashkenazi Jewish population, it is higher, and you can see quotes as high as 1 in 20 patients being affected. Now, in the U.S. population, it's much more uncommon to have a BRCA mutation.
So if I understand things correctly, if you have one of these mutations, it doesn't mean for sure you're going to get one of these forms of cancer. If you don't have this mutation, you're not safe. You could still get breast or ovarian cancer. How much of a difference does this make as far as a risk factor goes?
Sure. I think it's really important to underscore the point that most ovarian cancers and most breast cancers are happening in women with no family history and no documented evidence of any type of genetic mutation. So not having this mutation certainly does not mean you're not at risk. To answer your question, BRCA1 patients have about a 60% chance of developing breast cancer by the end of, ovarian cancer by the age of 70, and about a 60% chance of developing breast cancer by that same age. For BRCA2 patients, the risks are slightly lower. They quote between a 15 and 20% risk of developing ovarian cancer, and a little bit lower, about a 50% chance. So less likely than BRCA1 to develop breast cancer.
So in someone in Angelina Jolie's case, I mean, that's a very high risk of breast cancer, of ovarian cancer, and it was common in her family. So is it common or getting more common for someone in that situation having this BRCA1 and a family history to go and get a fairly obviously significant preventive surgery?
It is becoming more common, I think, as this is so individualized. I mean, there are many patients who have these mutations who don't do anything, who don't do any surgeries, who don't do any additional screening and live happy, normal lives. I think that's not recommended, but certainly an option. I think that Angelina Jolie brought a lot of attention to this issue, and I do have more patients asking me questions about these surgeries. But truly, patients, when they're diagnosed for BRCA, hopefully are under the care of someone who's also offering psychological support, offering opportunities for them to reach out to family members to talk about this diagnosis, and really helping them individualize their treatment. There are so many ways, other than surgery, that you can potentially lower your risk. It's important that we don't focus on surgery being the only solution. It's an option, and I very much respect Ms. Jolie's decision to choose that option and to bring attention to this condition. On the other hand, it doesn't mean that every woman with this diagnosis needs to have these surgeries.
We're talking about breast cancer and ovarian cancer risk and treatment options with Dr. Lisa Barillette from the UW-Madison. Dr. Barillette, I wanted to ask you about that. Those other options, what other kinds of treatments are common for people with these gene mutations that put them at this higher risk of ovarian cancer, of breast cancer?
So let me answer the breast cancer question, because I think that's a little bit more straightforward. We have really excellent screening tools available for breast cancer. So that doesn't reduce risk, but we actually are pretty good in high-risk populations at detecting that early. So for breast cancer risk, you actually can get an MRI, which is a relatively new technology being used for this, in addition to a mammogram annually. And that's not perfect, but pretty darn effective at finding early breast cancers. For ovarian cancer, we don't have a screening test that's nearly as good, but we do have some ways of reducing risk that can be helpful. Simply using birth control pills has been shown to reduce the risk of ovarian cancer. If you've used pills at any time over your lifetime for a total of 5 years, that can reduce your risk by almost one half. And that's something that many women have done without even recognizing that it was reducing their risk. Other things that can be done to reduce risk are surgeries that don't make you menopausal. Removing the ovaries, obviously, in younger women is going to reduce or negate their estrogen levels. In women who aren't ready to be menopausal but have completed childbearing, you can actually remove fallopian tubes and expect a decreased risk in ovarian cancer.
Now, as you mentioned earlier, most of the women who get breast cancer and or ovarian cancer don't have these mutations we're talking about. Are we getting better at assessing risk for women without these mutations, how likely they might be to get these forms of cancer?
For ovarian cancer, there are certain things that put you at slightly higher risk, but there are behaviors that you're unlikely to change just for the sake of reducing your ovarian cancer risk. For example, being pregnant, the more pregnancies you've had, puts you at a lower risk for developing ovarian cancer. I mentioned oral contraceptives or birth control pills. Breastfeeding for long periods of time actually has been shown to reduce your ovarian cancer risk. Nothing is enough that one would change their behaviors and personal preferences just for that, but certainly there, it seems that having more children and frankly not ovulating, right? That's the whole commonality here. Oral contraceptives make you anovulatory while you're taking them, and most women who are breastfeeding exclusively don't ovulate. When you're pregnant, you're obviously not ovulating. So it seems that those common behavior patterns can be helpful in reducing risks.
Now, the kind of surgery we've talked about, a double mastectomy, removing ovaries and fallopian tubes, that's not something I'm guessing that's going to be common in people who don't have this BRCA mutation as a preventive measure, I should say.
Absolutely not. I think it's very ovarian cancer, fortunately, in the general population is pretty rare. It's not one of the most common cancers we see in women. You are much more likely as a middle-aged woman to have problems with heart disease, to have problems with diabetes, to have breast cancer still, unfortunately, much more common. So ovarian cancer is for most women something pretty low in terms of lifestyle modification that they need to be concerned about. So then to even think about surgery, which is more morbid and carries its own set of risks, I am not recommending that in patients outside of very strong family histories or a known genetic mutation.
We heard from Amy on Facebook. She said, I did have these risk-reducing surgeries, and I found the information and support I needed through the whole process, decision-making, surgery, adjusting to a new normal, from an amazing organization called FORCE, Facing Our Risk of Cancer Empowered. You had mentioned earlier, Dr. Berlet, support from family, social support. How important are support groups like this for people going through different types of cancer and treatment?
I think this is incredibly important. You're talking about young women, and in some of the more dramatic stories that you hear, it's women who had a sister or aunt or family member that perhaps they didn't even have a close relationship and get a phone call one day saying, hey, there's a BRCA mutation in the family, or hey, someone just got diagnosed with a breast cancer and we've learned about this. And so this information is being placed on their shoulders when they're in their early 20s. They're not thinking about necessarily having kids yet or starting their families, and now they're being told you may have a high risk of ovarian cancer or breast cancer, and these surgeries may be necessary. I think for those patients and for any patient going through this, it's imperative that they're talking to other people going through the same thing. It's such a unique set of circumstances. There are a lot of online support groups here at the UW Cancer Center. Our health psychologists work with patients with this diagnosis all the time, and we have Cancer Center support groups focused on young patients either with cancer diagnoses or with genetic mutations.
We're talking to Dr. Lisa Barillette about cancer risk and preventive surgeries in the wake of Angelina Jolie Pitt's announcement that she had her ovaries and fallopian tubes removed.
And we're taking your calls. What do you think about preventive surgery when it comes to the risks of cancer? Would you have preventive surgery if you knew that you had a high risk of cancer? And do you think it's a good idea to get these blood tests? And what about Jolie's decision to share her story with the world? Call in and share your thoughts and your experiences at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're continuing our conversation now with Dr. Lisa Barillette about preventive surgeries tied to Angelina Jolie Pitt's announcement that she had her ovaries and fallopian tubes removed due to cancer risks.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you been tested for this genetic mutation, the BRCA1 or 2, to see if you are at a higher risk of breast cancer or ovarian cancer? Would you want to know if you're at this kind of higher risk? Have you been through some kind of preventive procedure? Made a lifestyle change in response to a higher cancer risk? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post over at the Central Time Facebook page. Dr. Barillette, are we seeing more people go out and ask to be tested for BRCA variants, especially in the light of Angelina Jolie's previous surgery and op-ed piece?
I would be interested in asking my colleagues who see healthy women for annual exams that question, because I suspect they are. When patients are in my clinic, it's many patients who have either been already diagnosed with this mutation or have a very strong family history. So I think the piece of that population I'm seeing is a little bit skewed, and most of them have already appropriately been tested.
And we're not seeing this as a general recommendation for women at this
point? No, not right now. If you review it, anyone can hop online and look at the National Comprehensive Cancer Center Network, the NCCN guidelines. They're accessible to the public, and they have recommendations on who should be screened for BRCA. I won't rattle them all off. It's a long list. But essentially, people who have a personal history, so they themselves were diagnosed with breast cancer at a young age, premenopausal, less than 45 years old, or have a personal history of ovarian cancer, those patients should be tested. And if you have more than one close blood relative with breast cancer at any age, so there's a pattern of breast cancer or ovarian cancer in the family. There's a number of other guidelines, but that's kind of, you're looking at either parents who were affected with a breast or ovarian cancer, siblings, or if your own child was affected. Really close relatives would put you at a higher risk for this mutation.
Let's go to a caller now at 800-642-1234. We've got Stacy with us in Madison. Stacy, hi.
Hi. My question is, how do I talk to my doctor about getting tested? And is testing generally covered by insurances?
And Stacey, actually, before I let our guest answer, if I may ask a personal question, is there a strong family history in your family of these kinds of cancer we're talking about?
My mother died of ovarian cancer.
Well, I'm sorry, but that's interesting. Dr. Barillette, is she someone who would be likely to be tested? And if so, how would she get the ball rolling?
Yeah, so you should definitely bring up testing with your physician, and that can be a primary care doctor or an OBGYN, whoever you see for your annual care. And usually what they do, many providers here in Madison are very comfortable ordering this testing, and we would do, insurance is a different story, but usually in patients with a family history, we are able to get this testing covered. Here at our cancer center, we have a policy that patients who are being tested, meaning having the blood test, and that's what this is, a tube of blood being drawn and tested for this mutation. If they are undergoing that, they also need to participate in genetic counseling. And that's more than a blood test. It's meeting with a genetic counselor to carefully review your family history, look for any other things that you may be at risk for, because there are other familial syndromes that can increase cancer risk. And we don't want to assume everything is BRCA when, in fact, something else may be occurring in the family. So it's a little bit more extensive and also offers additional support. Insurance companies do vary on whether or not they pay for genetic counseling. So we do work with patients to help find a way to get that covered or other funding mechanisms. But But you, Stacey, you are someone who should you should definitely talk to your physician about being tested, and you would qualify for testing, and I think that's a very reasonable thing to do.
Stacey, thanks for calling, and good luck as you move ahead with this. Well, Dr. Berlet, I wanted to ask about, back to everyone else now, the people who don't have this genetic marker that we're watching for. I know there's a lot of controversy about when, how early, how often to start getting breast cancer, in particular screenings. What's the current state of the art now?
Yeah, so for breast cancer screening, you're right that most those guidelines are a moving target. For patients who are considered high risk, we do start screening early, meaning in their 20s. And I, the latest is to start mammograms over the age of 45, and in some patients are even delaying until 50. And those, I think, we're going to see constant updates, and different professional societies are going to recommend different things. So you'd need to have a personalized discussion with your provider. I think everyone's doing things a little bit differently. But for ovarian cancer screening, that's a lot more tricky, as I suspect you're about to ask me.
Yeah, what kind of screening is there? You said there's not perfect a screening method for ovarian cancer.
And there's not. And even for high-risk patients, we frankly don't have anything particularly reliable to offer. So even in, a patient like your last caller who has a family history and probably, someone who's tested positive for BRCA who probably should be getting some kind of screening, the best we can do is offer a blood test, which is called a CA125, and an ultrasound. That's a way of examining the ovaries. And that is, again, the NCCN, who I rely upon to provide us with pretty good objective guidelines, doesn't even recommend that strongly. The recommendations they give us are you could consider doing those tests, because they've never been shown to improve survival from ovarian cancer or detect ovarian cancer early enough to make a difference.
As we wrap up, Angelina Jolie Pitt has us talking about this. Is this good that people are watching for these genetic markers, thinking about these decisions, or are you worried that it's generating more fear maybe for people who don't have that much to worry about right now?
I don't worry about people becoming afraid. If someone's going to, I hope that our patients and the public will think about all the other things they can be doing for their health and only worry about this in the cases of a really strong family history where there's clearly a valid concern, or in cases where, you've already dealt with every other health concern that's so much more likely to be an issue, and you're wearing a seatbelt and your bicycle helmet and you're not smoking and you're exercising. There's just so many other things that are much more likely to cause problems as we age than ovarian cancer.
All right, we'll leave it there. Dr. Berlet, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We've been talking to Dr. Lisa Berlet. She's assistant professor of obstetrics and gynecology at UW-Madison, talking about preventive surgery and cancer risk after the publication today of an op-ed by Angelina Jolie Pitt, talking about her experience and the preventive surgery she elected to have.